Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. So the Titans picked J.C. Latham on Thursday. I had a complete meltdown. I went crazy on Friday. Then on Friday, drafted Tavondre Sweat at 38, the defensive tackle. I almost said pass rusher, not pass rusher. The big old fat boy, the big old fat DT out of Texas. They took him at 38. We had a list of guys that were like, okay, we'll be happy if they take any one of these guys. They didn't take any of those guys. They took Tavondre Sweat. Then they picked a bunch of other guys, day three guys. We'll see on the day three guys. You know, you never know what you're going to get with a day three guy. You may get Puka Nacua. You may get Des Fitzpatrick. Who knows? Day three is kind of a crapshoot. So I want to start on the Tavondre Sweat pick, because this is a high-value pick. I talk about how, again, with the seventh pick, the Titans took J.C. Latham. He better be a superstar at left tackle, or else it's a bad pick. There's no reason to sit through the terrible season that we had to sit through last year if you don't get rewarded with these really, really good picks, which allow you to draft, supposedly, really, really good players. So when Tavondre Sweat got drafted, I kind of had mixed emotions. So here is kind of the way that I processed this pick. Number one, TD told all of us for weeks that the Titans were interested in Tavondre Sweat. And I believe, Ian, that on Thursday on the Power Hour, when we talked about what do you think at 38, he was like, I think it's going to be Tavondre Sweat at 38. Like, I think he was as direct as he could have been about that.
I think so.
I mean, so when they took him, my shock level was zero, even though he was a guy that nobody, you know, none of the national boards had him. We weren't talking about him. Whatever. My shock level was zero because TD had told us, hey, they really, really like this guy. The second thing is, it is obvious that the Titans did love Tavondre Sweat. Because the lengths that they went to in order to vet his character, which we'll get into in a second, and everything else, clearly shows you, you know, if you didn't really love the guy, and he's got weight issues, and he's got a DUI, and he's got a, you're kind of like, yeah, just take him off the board. Just done. The third thing is, it sounds like in college, he was a complete and total beast. A buddy of mine went to the Predators game on Friday. He was sitting in the row behind me, and the Titans made the pick, and I turned around and I looked at him. I said, what do you think of this pick? Because he went to Texas, and he watches all the Texas games, and he goes, oh, he's a beast. He's like, he's a beast. He's like, he made Byron Murphy a first-round pick. You know, Byron Murphy had one good year at Texas. Tavondre Sweat was good for 2 years. And so in college, he was a total beast. And he on the defensive line is what I call a slingshot player. You know, the Titans have had these over the years. Robert Smith was a slingshot player. Jason Jones, a defensive tackle. Both guys paired up next to Albert Haynesworth. They did the dirty work, and Albert went to work. And I think we all know in this equation who's the guy that you want going to work. Simmons. So the idea is Tavondre Sweat is going to eat up those offensive linemen, and then Simmons is going to go get the quarterback or the running back. So I do like that. And again, in college, that's exactly what he did for Byron Murphy. And then the fourth thing is there are major character concerns with this kid, and there is no way around it. There are questions about his weight. He got the DUI during the draft process. And there are questions about his maturity. Now, I've never met the kid, so I wouldn't be one to tell you one way or another if he's mature or if he can handle the lifestyle of the NFL or anything else like that, because I don't know. But clearly, teams were turned off by him, by all of those things. And I will say this. I do worry about the idiom, the old phrase, dumb guy stay dumb, fat guy stay fat, injured guy stay injured. Because if Tavondre Sweat was 380 pounds last year at Texas, and he's 360-something for the draft process, and he says his goal is 350, I'm like, how likely is it that you get to 350? So that is a huge concern. And then the character issues and the DUI, that's certainly a part of the equation. See, the thing about the DUI, and I don't want to minimize a DUI, and I don't want to sit there and say, oh, it's okay, or oh, it's not okay, or whatever. I've told you guys this when Todd Downing got a DUI, that, look, good people get DUIs. They can be incredibly, incredibly dangerous and reckless. And, I mean, what can happen off of a DUI is so scary and volatile that it's almost like it's a really bad thing, but it doesn't mean that bad people get DUI. Good people get DUI. So that is not my biggest issue when it comes to sweat. My issue with sweat is, how are you going to get a DUI during the draft process? Like, this is the time of the year of your life where it's like, dude, mind your P's and Q's. If you're going to go to Pornhub, be sure to go to a private browser, because you don't want the Los Angeles Chargers to find out what your porn history is. Like, every little thing is like a, hey, man, you better be careful here. Like, you better dot all your I's and cross all your T's. And he's out there drinking and driving? That's not smart. So, when I talk about dumb guys staying dumb, like, that's a dumb thing. And again, fat guys staying fat. That being said, I don't hate this pick, even though none of the draft gurus had him anywhere near the 38th pick. Because a lot of you guys do this, you know, let Rand cook. And I think that that honestly is so overblown that it makes my skin crawl every time I hear it. But this is what San Francisco does. San Francisco looks at guys that they want, that they've got to have. We got to have this player. And we take him. Well, you know, I had him ranked on the board at 54 and at doesn't matter. This is the guy we need. That's San Francisco's approach. The difference, though, is that San Francisco does a lot of that, picking at 63. Right, and not 38. So there is a big difference there. And then the other thing that I kind of struggle with here is, you probably should have traded down. Right? Like, again, not to say that Dane Brugler is the end-all be-all of who's a good player and who's not, or Mel Kiper or Daniel Jeremiah, but Mel had a round 3 grade on sweat. Daniel Jeremiah ranked him 114th. And Dane Brugler had a 4th-round grade on him. And so I'm not, again, those guys, each individual guy, you know, I think Pro Football Focus took a steaming hot dump on Tavondre Sweat on their board. Not to say that those guys are right and the Titans are wrong, but you do have to understand where reality is here and say, okay, if most people think that he's the 100th best player and we're sitting here at 38, don't you think we should maybe trade down? Or don't you think we should say, well, you know, he's probably going to be there when the Rams pick at 52, or when Philadelphia picks at 50, or when New Orleans picks at 45. And by the way, all three of those teams I just mentioned all traded up in the 2nd round. And to get to 38, you know, they know 3rd-round picks and other things are going to be involved. And it just sounds like the Titans were so in love with this kid that they didn't even consider it. So there is a lot to unpack with this. Because on one hand, I do think that he's a good player. And I do think that he fits exactly. There's a difference between fitting a need, like, oh, we need an inside linebacker, and, oh my God, we need a guy to go with Simmons that is going to eat up 2 or 3 offensive linemen, that is going to shut down the run game so that Simmons is going to be able to feast. And I think that's what Tavondre Sweat does. So I like that. And I like the fact that the Titans absolutely freaking love the player. Because at the end of the day, the picks aren't about value. The picks are about what players do you walk away from the draft with. But man, he's got red flags. And the Titans probably left some money on the table by not looking at a trade down. Your reaction, 615-737-1025. Now the off-the-field stuff. You know, I said on Thursday that I don't have a problem with Rand Carthon making this pick. You know, I don't want to hear, well, Bill Callahan loved this guy. Brian Callahan loved this guy. Chad Brinker loved this guy. This guy loved that guy. I don't want to hear that. I want Rand Carthon to make that pick because that will tell us whether or not he can draft. Well, it sounds like that's what he did here at 38 with Trevondre Sweat. But there are off-the-field issues. And if I own the team, this would be what I would tell Rand Carthon if he came up to me and said, I want to take this guy with the 38th pick. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
What was kind of his explanation of that night, of what happened?
Well, I won't go into the details of that. I know some of the stuff has been, you know, reported, and you can read about it, and whatever he wants to share, you know, he'll share. But basically, what he told us and what I got from my intel was it aligned, and you could see why those things happened. He was, again, I'll say from the forthright standpoint, he recognized his mistake and the part that he played in it. But, you know, he didn't come through even though, you know, someone hit him. He didn't use that as an out or a cop out and play the victim part. He accepted his responsibility and what he's learned from it so far.
There you go. That was Rand Carthon talking about Trevondre Sweat in the DUI, and I do love that cut right there where Rand's like, you know, he could have used the fact that he got hit as an excuse. You know, he was driving under the influence. His car got hit. The cop saw he was drinking and driving, and he got in trouble, but he didn't do that. And I was like, kind of sounds like you're doing that. Right? Like, well, you know. But the truth is there are red flags with this kid. It's reality. Now, whether or not he's worth the 38th pick without the red flags is a different discussion. Daniel Jeremiah on his initial big board had him ranked 48th before dropping him to 114th after all the off the field stuff. But the red flags are real, right? The weight, that's real. 388, that's not going to work in the NFL. It's not going to work when you play 9 snaps a game. The DUI, that's real. That's a concern. The maturity, that's an issue. But the Titans say they did their homework. This was Rand Carthon when asked about the off-the-field issues with Trevondre Sweat. This is what Rand Carthon said. It's kind of long, but a very thorough explanation of how the Titans went about vetting the prospect out of Texas.
How much did you guys have to vet the incident that he had a couple of weeks ago with the DUI?
Yeah, so we were his first visit. After the incident occurred. And so we brought him in and spent the day with him. If you know him, you know, he's a jovial kid. He's got a great personality, fun loving, but you can see that he was extremely affected, you know, when we brought him in. And you know, we spent a lot of time, you know, talking about it. I know he was ready to talk about it with anybody that wanted to listen. And he was forthright and honest. But something that's not, you know, documented or that has been reported is we actually went down to visit with him and the family because we wanted to know more and spend more time with not only him but his family and see the people that he surrounds himself with. So myself, Callie, Tracy Rocker, and Anthony Robinson, you know, we flew down, you know, to his hometown and spent the morning with him and his mom and his brother and his grandfather and really, you know, got to know him as a person and kind of what the expectations would be for us if he was here and, you know, kind of put that on the line. And we had some tough conversations, you know, while we was there, and not only tough conversations with him, but tough conversations with his family in the room with the understanding that it's going to take all of us, you know, just like it would be with any other player, just like it's going to be with JC. There's an adjustment period that all these guys have to go through that not only it's going to take us, but it's going to take the people that they spend the most time with outside of here to help us with that. And so we wanted that to, you know, come across with his family, have a strong relationship with his representation at Clutch Sports and Nicole Lynn. And so being able to have all those different touch points, we had a lot of information, you know, prior to everything. And again, us going down, taking that trip to spend time with him and his family is what made us comfortable making this pick.
Okay. So that was a very thorough explanation without getting into the details of, you know, he said this happened and that happened and his mom said that when he was playing Little League and he was 8 years old, all that kind of stuff. But Here's what I would say if I own the Titans, because I do. I'm at least glad the Titans, you know, didn't just, oops, we think it'll be fine, that they actually went and they visited and all that stuff. But here's what I would say if I own this team. If I own this team and you came to me and you said, we've got to take this guy, Mr. Stillman, we have to take him, I would say, okay. But if these red flags are a problem, you're fired. Now, are you willing to take that risk? Because what Trevondre Sweat is he is Isaiah Wilson meets Caleb Farley, at least on the front end. And you're going to hear that and get mad and go, that's not fair, Jared. Those guys sucked in their bus and John Robinson messed up and they're the reason why John Robinson's not here anymore. The A.J. Brown trade is not why John Robinson got fired. I can promise you the Titans do not regret that trade. As bad as Treylon Burks has been, the Titans do not regret the A.J. Brown trade. It's Farley, it's Wilson, it's Radens. That's why John Robinson's not here. And when I say it's Isaiah Wilson meets Caleb Farley, you know, all these things that happened with Isaiah Wilson, right? The DUI, the drinking, the partying, the out of shape, all of that stuff happened after he got drafted. In fact, I talked to Hudson Mason, who played quarterback at Georgia, who's now a talk radio host in Atlanta. And Hudson Mason was like, yeah, none of us that were around the Georgia program that, you know, again, not in it, but around the program, none of us around the Georgia program, none of us knew that Isaiah Wilson was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But the issues with Isaiah Wilson were that he was immature, that he was too fat, and that he couldn't control himself. Well, what are the problems right now with Trevondre Sweat? He's too fat, he can't control himself, and he's got maturity issues. And where this is, where Caleb Farley gets brought into this is, you know this on the front end. You know on the front end that these are problems he's had. The idea of going down and talking to mama does not change reality for me of, oh, well, mom says he's okay, so he'll be okay. If it makes you, and I'm talking about Rand Carthon in this instance, and I'm the owner, if it makes you feel better about making this pick and sticking your reputation and sticking your career on it, then good for you. I want you to make picks that you believe in. But just know, like, if this doesn't work, the warning signs are there. You're fired. Just like Caleb Farley. I said the day after they drafted Caleb Farley, I said, when it came to him, I said, I got friends that work in cryptocurrency, and they are so convinced that this cryptocurrency thing is going to be the end-all be-all. They're like, dude, you got to invest in crypto. And I'm like, I don't think so, man. That's too risky for me. I don't really totally get it. I think it's kind of stupid anyways, but knock yourselves out. And if you guys end up with private islands, I'll come visit. But for me, I'll kind of stick, you know, with regular stuff. And Caleb Farley crashed. The warning signs are there on Trevondre Sweat. The Titans are convinced that the warning signs are not an issue. That's fine. Until it's not. The Titans were convinced Caleb Farley's back wasn't an issue. Well, that's fine. Until it's not. And so that's how I feel about all this off the stuff, off the field stuff when it comes to Trevondre Sweat, which is, Rand Carthon, you want to make this pick? You believe in this player? And I don't think he's a bad player either. And I think he's, again, not talking about needs on a depth chart and saying, okay, now they got that defensive lineman they needed. But I'm talking about a guy they need that can really, you know, really slingshot Simmons into being an elite, game-changing defensive lineman. I think he's that. I think he's it. But there's some big baggage on this side of it. And if you swing and miss on the 38th pick, an incredibly valuable pick, I promise you, some of the guys that went around this time are going to be good players in the NFL. If you swing and miss on this pick because you're convinced that we should dismiss these red flags, and I own the team, you're fired. It's the same as Wilson. It's the same as Farley. And then I would wonder, are you still that committed to Vondre Sweat? And if you are, then go make the pick. But that would be the question that I would have. All right, we'll get to your phones on this next. 615-737-1025. And then there is the on-the-field element of Trevondre Sweat, which I have a thought on as well. We'll do that, and then we're to your phones. Let's talk about Window Nation. That's right, no red flags when it comes to Window Nation. Why? Because I know you can trust Window Nation because I trust Window Nation. I did the free in-home estimate. I had Window Nation come on out to my home, and I said, okay, tell me about my windows. And they said, dude, you don't need to replace your windows. Your windows are fine. I said, really? They said, yeah. They said, you've got good windows. And I thought, wow, these people drove all the way out here to come and look at my windows, probably to sell some windows, and they said, your windows don't need to be replaced. That's how I know you can trust them. And not only can you trust them, but if you need to replace your windows, Window Nation is the place to go. Because if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, talk to Window Nation. Because right now, for every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two free. Again, every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two free. So there's no limit on how much you could save. Plus, you could save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. So do not miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Again, no interest or payments for 24 months. That's windownation.com.
With the 38th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Trevondre Sweat from the University of Texas, nose guard.
Yeah, this is a mammoth human being. You see the weight there, 366 pounds. This is someone who can really clog the run lanes with his big frame. You hear a lot of attention on him this year. When scouts got in and studied him, they liked Byron Murphy better. You saw Byron Murphy go off the board. But Sweat is just a massive human being who can push the pocket with that power, put that weight and that size to work, and just walk centers and guards back. I don't believe he's a big-time pass rusher. You see flashes of it, like this one against TCU. This was a very polarizing player.
That was Daniel Jeremiah when he was picked. Again, at 38, he was on Jeremiah's big board at 114. So make of that what you will. There are red flags there. Now, Trevondre Sweat on the field, I get it. He's a big old fat boy, and I love that on the defensive line because fat boys with feet are really hard to find. That's kind of the big thing with J.C. Latham. Now, Latham's not as fat as Sweat is, though Latham's got some girth to him. But, I mean, Sweat is a big fatty, and I like that. And I love the idea of bringing in a very talented, as far as, you know, physically, Trevondre Sweat is concerned. I love bringing in a very talented player because you can't coach somebody that big to move that fast. So he's going to be the space heater, and that's going to free up Jeffrey Simmons to get after the quarterback. So I really, really, really like the fit with Simmons. And a lot of people have argued that Trevondre Sweat is the reason why Byron Murphy had the season he had. So with Autry gone, not that Autry was a zero technique, you know, a true nose tackle or anything like that, but he plugs the Autry spot and is really more of a true nose tackle, a true space heater, a true run stuffer, a true that kind of thing that I think will allow Simmons to be freed up to do more of the glamorous stuff, which is to get after the quarterback. So I get the pick. You know, bringing the player in, that I don't have a problem with. It's the off the field I got a little bit of an issue with and the where they picked him that I've got a little bit of an issue with. But that we shall see. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kyle has been waiting forever. He's up next here on the program. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Kyle.
You're so welcome, Jared. I like the pick. I like my defensive tackles, defensive linemen, Nasty, John Randall, John Henderson. Albert Haynesworth would rip your helmet off and kick you in the face. I'm not saying that he is crazy, but we all need somebody a little edgy or whatever. Every good football team needs that guy you got to reel back in. I was that guy on my team. I get into a fight almost every game. People had to tackle me and pull me off. But they appreciate it. It's just who it is.
But that's not really the problem with him. The problem with him is the fact that he does stupid stuff off the field.
he's 21, and I was an idiot at 21 too. A lot of us were. So I think now,
I know, but this is the NFL.
With Jeffrey Simmons, I think he's going to work. I think he's learned his lesson.
You guys thought Farley was going
to
work.
He has to be feeling like an idiot right now, getting a DWI on the way to his interview with his employer. I assume he feels stupid, but he's the one guy that can improve the entire defense.
Here's my problem with the idea of him feeling like an idiot, Kyle.
He can help pass rushers. He opens the lane for linebackers to fill the hole, and that just helps the secondary.
Kyle, thank you for the call. Here's the problem, though, when you say that he feels like an idiot. You know, I'm sure he feels like an idiot. I don't know that. I haven't talked to him. There is a problem with that, though, and like nobody really wants to say this, but I'll say it. There's a chance that he maybe feels like an idiot for doing something stupid because maybe, and again, I don't know this guy, but maybe he is. Like, that's the red flag. Like, the red flag is, you know, he must feel like an idiot. Right, he must feel like an idiot because he did a really moronic thing. So the question is he a young guy that made a mistake, or is he an idiot? And I don't know the answer to that, and that's why the Titans have got to do their homework in the draft. That's the whole point. And I expect every single one of you to love this pick. I expect every single one of you to assume that the red flags mean nothing because you've never thought red flags meant anything. Every single player with a red flag, you guys, when the Titans acquire him, go, and then as soon as it doesn't work because of the red flags, you go, John Robinson is an idiot for trading for Julio Jones. I mean, Ian, remember when I was the bad guy saying don't trade for Julio Jones? I was the bad guy. I did the News 2 Sunday night show. The Titans signed Jadeveon Clowney on Labor Day weekend of 2020. And I did the News 2 Sunday night show with Corey. And I said, this is a bad signing. And I got killed. And all the red flags were there with Clowney. The guy does not produce. The guy is lazy. The guy is always hurt. The guy is, and you guys, no, those things don't matter. Julio Jones' hamstring, that doesn't matter. Caleb Farley's back, that doesn't matter. Jared, we got the best corner in the draft with the 21st pick. You guys always do that. You're doing it now with L'Jarius Sneed's knees. Nobody else in the NFL wants L'Jarius Sneed's knees. Nobody. Minnesota offered a much better trade and took it back because of the knees. But you guys are like, oh, no, it'll be no problem there. How can you think that? How can you think that? To sit there and not say, hey, man, this is a real risk, but I do like the player. That is different than saying, oh, I don't think it'll be a problem. And then this idea that, well, Simmons will get him going in the right direction. I'm sorry, is Simmons the coach? Like, I don't. Okay. One texter says, how is it not skeptical to trust the Titans with the scouting given the past history? I agree. And the Titans, like, what the Titans are trying to do is they're trying to massage the red flags by saying, hey, we did our homework on this guy. And it sounds like they did. You know, I will give Rand Carthon credit and Brian Callahan and Tracy Rocker, and that's, I will give them credit because if they loved a guy and there were concerns and they didn't do the homework. They didn't fly down there. They didn't meet with the family. They didn't have the tough conversations. If they didn't do that, I would annihilate them for that. So, I mean, it's a good thing that they looked at a guy they loved and they said, well, let's go make sure. We think, but let's make sure. But again, it's still a massive risk. They know it's a risk. They know they're taking a massive risk here. But to sit there and act like, oh, no, these red flags, this is going to be fine. I know. You guys always say that. Always, always, always say that. That you're not worried about the red flags. One texter says, I've mispronounced his name 25 times today. Is it not Tavondre Sweat?
I thought so.
Play the Warren Moon announcing the pick. Play it again. Let's see what the name is.
With the 38th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Trevondre Sweat.
So it's Trevondre and not Trevondre.
He said Trevondre.
So it's Trevondre, even though
there's no R there?
Correct. Okay.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. Okay. All right. Fine. Whatever. Chad says Dak Prescott got a DWI before the draft, and he's been a great leader ever since. Yeah. Did Dak Prescott have weight issues in college? Did Dak Prescott play at 388 pounds? Because that is the fear here, is that I think Rand Carthon said there's a threshold that they have for sweat. It's like, son, you cannot get this fat. And I believe, and again, this is kind of like a maturity. Can you handle all of the lifestyle, and can you handle the money, and can you handle all of this? That's the question. And a lot of guys, we don't know. But I'll also say this, just because it worked for Dak Prescott doesn't mean it will work for everybody else. And I keep using Isaiah Wilson as the example. All of the reasons that Isaiah Wilson didn't pan out, Isaiah Wilson had great tape in college. I mean, we watched. During the COVID shutdowns, we would do the show from my house. Floyd would show up at like 1:45 every day, and we had two TVs going. One would be the NFL Network, and the other would be something else. And during the COVID shutdowns, we'd watch a lot of college games. And we'd look at players that the Titans might be interested in drafting. And we watched the SEC championship game, LSU and Georgia. And we watched it because LSU had a handful of guys like Kalavon Chase on and Christian Fulton, and that might be of interest to the Titans. And then Isaiah Wilson was obviously of interest to the Titans. And Isaiah Wilson, I mean, he was a great prospect. Like, he was big. I mean, he needed work, but he was big. He had great feet. You know, Isaiah Wilson, the college version of Isaiah Wilson, when we talk about moving J.C. Latham over to left tackle, you could have done that with Isaiah Wilson because his feet were so good at his size. He was a great pass protector. But the reason why Isaiah Wilson didn't work out is because of all the off-the-field issues. Well, that's kind of the thing here, which is, you know, is this a blip on the radar, and with the coaching and with his heart and everything else, is this going to work or is it not? And again, I give the Titans credit because they went down there and they did their homework. But doing your homework doesn't matter if you fail the test. And whether or not he ends up overcoming the red flags, to me, that is what is going to be whether or not that you just, you know, did the homework. So TD has texted me and said that Warren Moon mispronounced it. There is no R. It's Trevondre. Is that not what we've been saying? Is it Trevondre?
I don't think so.
I think it's Trevondre. Trevondre Sweat. That's what it is. I don't think we've said anything different, have we? Maybe?
Well, I don't think so.
I think we've said Trevondre. Robert in Spring Hill says, if anybody has red flags about the future of a team as the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, what were they thinking with Michael Penix Jr.? Call Atlanta Radio for that one. I will say this. I love the idea of a succession plan at quarterback. I do like Michael Penix. Now, I don't like him at eighth overall. I do like Michael Penix. And I'm not a believer in drafting for need. But when you sign a quarterback to a $100 million contract, and I think it was a four-year deal for Cousins, that is saying that we don't need a quarterback for 4 years. At least three. And so I don't know what the Falcons are thinking. But, I mean, I guess. Whatever. All right, what about the day three picks? What do we make of that? I'll do that next. Stoneman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
With the 106th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Cedric Gray, linebacker, UNC.
So they didn't get to the 1K, but they got a pretty darn good player.
Yeah, he's the best linebacker available. I thought he would be gone last round. I'm a little surprised he's still sticking around. Excellent cover ability. He's an outstanding blitzer. And as you'll see here, the eyes work well as well. The change of direction, able to read and react and make a play in space. The coverage ability that I discussed. Look, if you can't cover at linebacker right now, you cannot get on the field or stay on the field the way the game is played. the instincts. Here he is again. We have to show the App State, really, guys?
Yes, that's cold.
Put that one up. Thanks, Ben. Then you see him again here as a blitzer. CD, I mentioned that reference there, what he can do. Athletic linebacker. I like this move a lot.
And how about a little bit of a legacy move? You remember the guy they had before that came from the Zach Brown, came from the University of North Carolina, a run, chase, hit linebacker. Cedric Gray could be the next one.
This is also a guy who has led the team in tackles for 3 years, but I would add special teams demon. He'll play right away on special teams too. They'll love that.
Maybe he'll be the next Zach Brown. Who knows? That was Charles Davis. I actually thought about cutting that part out because I actually think that that makes the analysis worse, but I like Charles, so I left it in there. Cedric Gray, the Titans took him in the fourth round. I was listening to SiriusXM's NFL radio draft coverage. I think they do a fabulous job with their draft coverage, you know, because they had Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl was part of their crew, and Rick Neuheisel was part of their crew, and Jim and Pat were part of their crew. And I was listening to it, and when he went off the board at 106, those guys were like, wow, that is a good player right there. As an inside backer and as a Titan fan, it was hard for me not to get excited about that. But I do want to say this. I think a lot of people look at that pick at 106 of Cedric Gray and they say, okay, there is the green dot inside backer that will start. He and Kenneth Murray will be your inside backers for the Titans, and they got that need filled. And I would just say that I am cautious of expecting a day three guy to be a year one starter. I'm cautious of putting the expectation on him because I'm sure a lot of you guys are probably doing your depth charts right now in your head, right? Like Latham at left tackle, Skoronski at left guard, Cushenberry, Brunskill, and I don't know who's going to play right tackle, but whatever, at right tackle. Ridley and Hopkins and Burks at wide receiver and Pollard and Spears at running back and Levis at quarterback. And so as you're putting out your depth charts, you're probably thinking Cedric Gray at inside backer. And I would just say, hold up now. Let's not put this expectation on this player. Because over the last 10 years, by my count, the Titans have had three guys that have started right away as day three picks. Now, guys like Amani Hooker, Chigga Conquo, Jayon Brown, LaShawn Sims, those guys started later in their careers, but I'm talking about day one, taking on day three of the draft, starting right away, a la Puka Nacua. Avery Williamson, Tajay Sharp, and Daquan Jones. Those are the three guys. And I'm not going to throw Jalen Duncan in there because I don't want to make the list worse, but Jalen Duncan started way too much last year than he probably should have. So let's keep the expectations real around here. Williamson, Tajay Sharp, and Daquan Jones started as day three picks right away over the last 10 years. So be careful. You know, it may be better off that the Titans either sign somebody or put Jack Gibbons out there. You know I can't do the Jack Gibbons thing, but put Jack Gibbons out there and let Cedric Gray develop, be a special teams player, and everything else before just saying, okay, you need to wear the green dot and be the inside backer. That would make me a little nervous. The Titans took Jarvis Brownlee Jr., the corner out of Louisville, in the fifth round. And all I know about him is, during the morning when I was looking at who was still available and who the Titans might target, I texted the athletic director at Louisville, Josh Hurd, and I said, hey, is Jarvis Brownlee, like, is he a good kid? Is he a? And he said, he's a great kid. Great kid. And so when the Titans took him, I texted Josh and I was like, hey, are you cool if I tell everybody that you said, you know, whatever? And he sent a little bit more and said, hey, he can hit. He said, he's a good corner. He can hit. He said, if he's healthy, he's a really good player. And so that got me a little excited. Somebody tweeted me and said, do you think the AD at Louisville would tell you if he was a bum? Yes, I do. Now, I don't think that he'd want me to share that with you guys, and I would probably wouldn't, but he would. And he really, really, really likes the Jarvis Brownlee pick. So I think that's a good step in the right direction. And then all the other guys, we're talking about sixth and seventh round guys, if they make the team, that's good enough. I do think that receiver out of Tulane, that, you know, he's got some speed. And they say he's a slot receiver and a punt returner. So if I was Kyle Phillips, I'd be a little nervous because I don't know if there's all those, you know, all those roster spots to go around of guys that only punt return, play the slot, and don't do other things on special teams. And if this kid is a better punt returner than Phillips, and I can't imagine that he won't be a better punt returner than Phillips, and he can stay healthy more than Phillips, and he's got that speed, I mean, he could be a pretty good player. So, I mean, on day three, I don't know about these guys, you know, because I didn't watch North Carolina play. So I can't sit there and tell you about Cedric Gray this, Cedric Gray that. But the guys on NFL radio were fired up for the Titans when they made that pick. I just struggle of saying, hey, let's not put too high of an expectation on the 106th pick right away. And if he is Puka Nacua and he starts day one and he's Cortland Finnegan and he's great. But let's just be a little cautious here. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're back to the Titans at 5 o'clock. Coming up next, UC Soros is making a decision that Barry Trotz is going to have to make one way or another a lot easier on Barry Trotz. We'll get to that coming up next as we react to the Predators down 3-1 after an epic meltdown last night. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.